Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
And joining us is author Patrick M. Annandale. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
So, the stupid party. How did you come up, or did you come up with that name? And if you did, what's it represent?
No, I did not come up with the name. That would be Bobby Jindal, who was criticizing his own party. And the moment he said it, you know, everybody realized, my God, he probably shouldn't have said it, but he's touched on a truth. And therefore, I decided, you know, I used that title, that name, because I wanted to explore that truth further. The truth being, obviously, the eradication of critical thinking, which has gone down precipitously, especially since the year 2000.
Hmm. Now, so when we talk about that, when we talk about the idea of critical thinking, and it's not happening in the party of Republicans, how do people become manipulated so easily? On such, so like, you know, clear logic and clear simple facts of things, but yet they don't follow it.
I think that it started off fairly slowly with, you know, obviously Fox News and Steve Bannon and all the rest. But what's really, I think, made it rise exponentially is that we as a human race, we as people, American voters, don't really have an immunity to some of the new measures being taken to manipulate us, and that the new forms of social media that have exploded, foreign agents taking advantage of us in a way that we weren't prepared for. I think going forward we'll get better at it. Hopefully getting forward we're beginning to learn the importance of fact checking. I mean, especially people, I mean, not so much Trump voters, obviously, they haven't got close to figuring this out yet. But it's going to become really important for society to, like, take measures to make sure that news is more accurate and that people start respecting professional journalists to a slightly larger extent, and that not anybody with a keyboard and a bit of financing and an idea should necessarily be listened to as gospel.
Yeah, that seems to be a big problem. You know, it used to be if you were on a network or part of a strong news organization, you were respected somewhat. But now the more involved you are, the less respected you are. You know, people like Alex Jones get big support, and it confuses me over and over. But you say we're going to get better at it. But how come things like...
Well, I'm not suggesting that that I'm particularly that optimistic, but I think by natural, you know, when you're really hit by a wave that comes as a real surprise, I think that we're able to adapt somewhat, and I think there will be adaptive measures. And I think people will start stressing and teaching what fact research is all about and how you do it. And I think this is going to become really important. So if you see a headline in a newspaper that fits into your parameter, your worldview, way too neatly, and it's coming from an obscure source, you really need to double check that source. And we're doing it as a society already. You know, you have meetings with friends and whatever, you sort of fact check them on the spot. So you sort of already in your personal life, you're getting a bit more careful before you spill a number or you spill a supposed fact, because you know somebody can come right back at you that moment. So you tend to, people already around me and myself included, you will say, look, this is what I believe. I may have gotten it slightly wrong, but this is what I read from this source. And you just have to be more careful.
I just noticed, but with the recent pipe bomb thing going out to all the different major Democrats or supporters, you might say, of Democrats.
And you had the bombing this morning.
Right, exactly. So I'm
all the same. It's precisely the same thing. It's a pattern that was obvious and it was bound to end in this scenario. You've had a pattern of domestic terror, primarily coming from, two-thirds of it coming from the right wing, and one-third coming from also what I describe as right-wing, Quran-inspired type moves. Because that religion is an extreme right-wing form of a religion. And you've got, like, one leftist attack. I think it was a hostage person who didn't injure his hostages. So basically the left obviously had the Unabomber years and years ago, but the left, generally speaking, does not do this thing. They're not interested in killing people. So these domestic terror attacks are coming from the right. And now, obviously, since Trump was elected, you've got this white supremacist who have been unleashed and are out in the open, and they're making bolder and bolder statements. You've got the President of the United States who rationalizes Kristallnacht in Charlottesville when they had those killings there because of the Nazi rallies. They try to deny, any critical thinker would have known that this pipe bomber would have come from the right. Because, you know, it just makes no sense. It's just a stupid thing to do because it's counterproductive. I mean, if I wanted to, you know, the last thing, I mean, I may dislike Trump immensely, but the last thing you want to do is sort of assassinate him, because that now suddenly people become sympathetic to his hateful causes. So it's just so kind of, violence is just so counterproductive, but people, you know, the right-wing brain, which is more conservative, more fearful, unless they don't really understand that with such resonance. So it's highly unlikely you're going to get these attacks from the left. I mean, I think the left would have to be pushed even further than they're being pushed right now to engage in that type of thing. And the type, and you know, the when they do commit violence in the past, which has been a long time, hasn't happened a lot. You know, it's for animal rights or whatever it is. So this is a right wing driven thing being exponentially increasing as a result of the rise of Trump.
Yeah, but the thing is, when we were on air yesterday and things were coming down. Right away, even one of my co-hosts and a lot of people that are on the right side, their first comments were things like, oh, it's just too easy. This is set up. A guy with a, you know, Trump van and
well, they always say that. I mean, when you had the John Deere abortion, I think it was a bombing or a killing, whatever it was, Colorado or whatever, you know, they said he was a transgender leftist. Well, clearly this guy was they just make this up on the fly. The guy was a gun nut, a pro-lifer, fundamentalist, and that's always a very deadly position to be on, because pro-lifers, if you're a fundamentalist about it, they're actually pro-death on so many levels, including increasing the number of abortions as a result of their agenda. So they're always going to come up with, they just live in this conspiracy theory world where they can say whatever they want without any evidence. You know, obviously, what they should have done with this guy is just wait a few hours before opining, because everybody who's opined on that guy since is now shown with tremendous clarity to be an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder how we can get people to not just jump into that conspiracy. I mean, false flags have become very big. Anytime something happens.
Well, that's always the right-wing dream, false flags. And the right wing will actually try and do that. You have, you know, Project Veritas and all the rest, who will try and set people up. They may be trying to incite the left to violence, or they may be commit violence pretending to be leftists. So you're going to get that full slag, but you're going to get it from the right. And the left is smart, and, you know, being progressive, generally speaking, tend to be better critical thinkers. And it'd be pretty damn dumb of them to engage in that unless they're baited at such a level you can almost not blame them. So when you see fascists rally through your high street, it's very tough not to go down there and engage. And I think one probably should engage with a fascist rally in your high street.
Well, yeah. It's just where people come from. And then with all of the fake news and that you know, Donald Trump really, you know, promoted and sold that to a lot of people. So without listening, people automatically assume you're fake news.
Yeah, and I think these people have got to ask themselves how we've gotten to this position. And I think you've got to ask yourself, like, how did people become on the right become so massively ignorant? And I think people on the left need to stress this more. How come that 90% of Trump supporters still think that Obama increased their taxes? How do you think that 65% of Trump supporters still think Iraq was behind 9/11? There are endless statistics. I mean, only like 25, well, I've forgotten the number now, but only 25% of Trump supporters believe in evolution. I may have misquoted that number, but I've got it on a blog I just put up today on my website, stupidpartyland.com. So you can see the numbers. You can see just massive, massive ignorance. And you've got to ask, how did this happen? And I think it's happened because of the rise of fake news. And these guys have got to ask themselves, how did I get to be? Once the fact is rammed down their throats, surely they, at one point in time, they're going to ask themselves, how did I get so massively the wrong end of the stick? And now that you've got people, pipe bombs, and you've got another attack on synagogues, and you've got the white supremacists reigning supreme almost, and apart from the fact you have school shootings like virtually every day, gun massacres virtually every day, when will people start asking, shall I look at the facts? Do guns make me sick? Do more guns equal more safety? And they don't. And you've got to start looking at these facts. I'm not saying guns should be removed. I'm not saying guns are always a bad thing. I'm not saying that every part of the country would be safer with less guns. But generally speaking, less guns equals less gun accidents, deaths, suicides, and whatever. So I think those people, at some point, when maybe you've got enough deaths going on, you've got enough abortion, you've got maternity deaths rising all the time because of this medieval view about abortion. And this is the only country in the world where maternal deaths are increasing. Everything else is every other country in the world, they're dropping dramatically. And people have got to ask themselves, how do we get to this point? How do we get to this point where America is sort of a laughingstock in the planet? How do we get to the point where America has only got three allies left? You know, Putin dictators, Putin, the Philippines, and maybe Netanyahu of Israel. That's it.
Right. Right. Well, they've certainly been tough on their allies, you know, picking
their on. Their allies have held America in total contempt. They'll carry on playing their part for the sake of global security for the time being, but America is held in contempt by every developed country on this planet.
Yeah, it's terrible. And you know, we have to talk about then religion and how religion seems to be in control of the right and Trump. It seems to be very...
Well, that's quite easy.
Yeah.
And I'd love to explain it because it's so important. Obviously, you know, the evangelicals specifically, 80% of them vote for Trump. It's the strongest voting bloc. And you cannot be a Trump supporter and a Christian. And I say that because... what is a Christian? A Christian is a person who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to follow the teachings of the Old Testament, which just gives you a bit more leeway, you can certainly go become join another religion. You know, if you want a bit more leeway with violence and aggression, maybe your man is Muhammad. But Jesus himself clearly said, turn the other cheek, look after the sick, help the poor. And the one time he lost his temper was at the with the money changers. So so the question is, how did Jesus get hijacked? By the church, not just by Americans, by the Catholic Church, a lot of it. And I've written a chapter about that in my book, Deliverance, explaining how Jesus got hijacked, how Christianity became misogynist. Because if you just go back to the New Testament, it's very, very simple. And these people, like Ted Cruz, like Mike Huckabee, like Pat Robertson, they are not Christians. God or Jesus does not speak through vile human beings.
And how far does it go? Like, what's your thought on the Pope?
I like the Pope.
Okay.
It's the first decent Pope the Catholic Church has had in living memory. He's trying to, right now, some of the New York bishops who are reactionary and awful are trying to bring him down with various sorts of fake scandals. But the Pope has, I mean, it's not perfect. I mean, there's plenty in the Catholic Church is still patently absurd, like contraception against being patently absurd. But the Pope has just done an awful lot to walk back Catholic dogma from being extreme to being and being far more practical, religion far more in touch with what Jesus Christ stood for. And remember, Jesus Christ, the New Testament, the Old Testament, was never pro-life. The Old Testament was pro-death. You didn't count as a person until you're like 1 month old. The Old Testament didn't care. And this notion about a grain of sand in a woman's uterus being more vital than the mother's health, her children's health, the health of American society, healthcare in general, people on death row, or people who are going to be executed, raging war, the fact that or a pig at 3.5, who has got the same mental age as a 3.5-year-old being tortured throughout its life, that those life forms are less valid than a grain of sand in somebody's womb is outrageous.
But a lot of them, I hear this a lot being in the media about the belief of Trump, as in, you know, God sent him. We're going to let God choose.
Well, obviously, you know, that's just people who are just totally, you know, like they got so many layers of delusion that they become, you know, like an onion, as I explained in my book, and they've entered into an intellectual vegetative state.
It doesn't sound promising.
Well, at some point, the amount, as their circular arguments shrink, the circle becomes ever shrinking, and the amount of people who will tolerate them, and you know, their kids are going to eventually abandon these old fossils. In many cases, you know, they're going to find their life becoming more lonely, more miserable, and more bitter. And you know, if they're still believing in this notion of their dying breath that somehow Trump was anything to do with Christianity, then, you know, obviously there's no hope for anybody.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why it doesn't sound promising. And I see a lot of the, you know, the religious freedom acts and stuff and trying to make things slowly difficult or illegal, like, you know, gay marriage and abortion and things like that. And they're doing it for the religious freedom argument, right?
But it's not religious freedom, because it's not representative of say the real Christian church. So, you know, Jesus, there may have been some stuff in the Old Testament about homosexuality, but the stuff in the New Testament is, if there is any, is extremely obscure. And one could also argue that, you know, Jesus himself probably would have been very tolerant of homosexuality. I mean, there's a band of 12 disciples, and most of them, only one or two had wives, and one of them at least was homophobic. But, you know, there was no evidence of Jesus himself being anti-homosexual or whatever. There's not one word about that. So it's not a biblical, it's not a Christian value. And, you know, people who use the Old Testament God, they basically what they're saying, I can believe anything I want, because you can interpret anything you want from the Old Testament. And maybe, I haven't studied the Quran, maybe that's the same problem with the Quran, I don't know. The ability to interpret so that, oh, God is speaking to me, therefore I can really say whatever I want. It's like Judge Moore saying that as a judge, saying God's law is more important than the laws of the land. But God's law, if you believe in the Old Testament, can be anything you want it to be.
Right. Is the Republican Party really becoming a religion party?
That's all they've got. I mean, it's been stated for decades. I mean, Hillary took a hit for it, and I think Obama may have implied it too. You know, they've got their guns and their Bible. I mean, how do you get people to vote against their economic interests? How do you get Trump voters to vote against health care, to vote against Medicare, to vote against increasing the minimum wage? How to vote for tax cuts for the wealthy, knowing that that will create a deficit that will then have to be repaid by getting rid of reducing benefits? How do you get people to think along those lines if you're not inciting their bigotry, racism, or fear? Hmm. I mean, if you take the issue of immigration, it's very simple. Whose fault is immigration as a problem? It would be the Republican Party's fault. Because if you're against immigration, the solution is actually very simple. And I'm not saying one way or the other. But you've got to stop major companies from hiring illegal people. Now, the USS Chamber of Commerce, which is a Republican organ, is all for cheap labor and all for cheap foreign labor. But on the other hand, they also fund the congressmen. They fund their campaigns, but they get the congressmen to blame the very same people they're happy to have into the country to create cheap labor for their products. But at the end of the day, whether you're for or against immigration, legal or whatever, immigration is good for the economy. And I'm not sure many Republicans, I mean, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce understands that. The Republican Party would never admit that because they want their cake and eat it. They want the cheap labor, but they want to blame the immigrants for coming to the country so that they can hide from all the other things they're doing wrong.
Right, and with the new caravan, as they market so well right now, that it's coming to get us.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm really following the story. I mean, if you're fearful of the caravan of foreigners, I'm not saying what the answer is. I haven't really studied the issue. I find it rather boring, to be honest. But if that's causing you fear, there's something you got a very conservative brain, which is designed to be fearful. Fearful for yourself. The conservatives are fearful for the individual. Progressives are more fearful for the group. They're more interested in protecting the group. So it's a less selfish fear, type of fear. But the conservative and the progressive brain are scientifically proven to be different. But to be fearful of this caravan of people coming to this country is just pathetic.
Yeah. So how did it become... like, you know, the Trump versus Clinton, but it was more about the scandals, like, you know, the way they made Clinton sound like lock her up and she's done all mm-hmm. of these atrocious things.
And they still go on about her killing rich, but I just can't keep up with those nonsense. But here's the thing. I think the Republican Congress, since around 2000 at least, and has spent about $100 million investigating the Clintons for all these conspiracies, and they've come up with nothing. And then of course every presidential candidate who would have run against her, whether it be John McCain in 2012 it was Mitt Romney or whatever, and Obama himself, if there was merit to any of these things, they have all the resources of the party, all the finances to explore that and bring down a candidate. So the combination of the Congress with taxpayer funds wasting $100 million cannot come up with anything concrete. You've got to just give it up. The notion of her foundation being corrupt in any way, there are organizations that study charities. And if there's anything fundamentally wrong with that charity, that's why you have rating agencies, to watchdogs, to keep an eye on charities, to make sure they're doing charitable stuff like they say. Their foundation gets A-rated from all of those watchdogs. There is nothing wrong with the foundation. The fact that wealthy people gave the foundation money is not a scandal.
Hmm. Now, what drew you to write this book and to do this website, StupidPartyLand.com?
Because I knew that we were, like, really screwed, or America was really screwed, because I went down to the... in the 2004 election... I had figured out mathematically that the place to be was Cleveland, Ohio. So that's where I spent the last week up until that election. But I wasn't the only person to figure that out. Carl Rove had figured it out with Ken Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State, and they had visited Cleveland just 2 or 3 days prior to the election and realized that was the pivotal place to be. And then what they'd done was they'd reduced, made it far more difficult for minorities to vote. They'd reduced voting machines and changed voting locations. It's made it confusing and all that, and then probably started talking about other things like criminal records and all the rest, which you're still allowed to vote in most cases if you have most types of criminal record. So they did everything they could to destroy the system. And I was there that night, on election night, in Cleveland, and it was pouring with rain. And even though people were highly motivated, I watched people stand in line for hours and then finally just give up and go home, because they got problems in these minority areas. They got eviction notices in their homes. They got kids probably, if they left unattended too long, maybe doing bad things, already doing bad things. They got a lot to handle, maybe a lot of single mothers or whatever. And they can't afford to spend 4 or 5 hours in light on a rainy night. And I just saw droves of people leaving those lines. And somehow Kerry lost that Ohio election, even though he was, by all polls, including exit polls, he was significantly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Up. And by the way, exit polls are very rarely wrong.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy situation. What do you want people to get out of your book?
Well, first of all, I want them to realize that really I think the stupid party itself has very little left going for it. What they always had until Trump, they maybe had 3 or 4 pillars of intellectual argument, which you could agree with or not agree with, and those pillars of intellectual integrity would have been free trade, strong national security, and fiscal discipline. Well, what's weird is within weeks of Trump being elected, those 3 pillars of conservatism just were thrown out of the window. So really, they have nothing right now. They have no values. They're not patriots. I'm a multicultural person, but I'm a far better American than anybody who supports Trump.
Wow, that's a statement. You talk about Nigel Farage and Brexit a lot. What do you think the British politics contributes to American?
Well, studying Farage, which I did in a chapter of the book, I think it's fascinating for both cultures, both American and English culture. But what I think that Farage himself, and I don't think English people realize this, and they certainly don't understand his activities in the United States. So what really fascinated me, why would an English politician go and campaign for Roy Moore, who was at that time was not even endorsed by Donald Trump? What would make that happen? Well, you know, it turned out by doing research, it was Steve Bannon who probably pressured him to do it and all the rest. But what, so Nigel Farage himself would have been a huge fan of an English politician in the 1960s called Enoch Powell, who was basically, at the time, was fairly respected, but he went full, he sort of became a bit of an extremist on immigration and became a bit fascist. And clearly, Nigel Farage wants that strong anti-immigration stance. And remember, immigration in England is a slightly different problem. It's a significantly different problem from immigration in the United States. There's two different types of issues. And, you know, there's far more real fear of ISIS-type people coming in the country. And obviously, there are numerous terror cells in the United States, and I think there are probably very few terror cells, numerous terror cells in the UK, and very few terror cells in the US. So Europe and England is way more exposed to Islamic fundamentalism than the Americans are. But Farage is very interesting because what's so scary about him, from my perspective, he's allowing the American right, the American hate, to infiltrate into the British society. And he's doing it at the funding of this billionaire person who's really more responsible for any of Trump's rise, this guy called Robert Mercer, who's a billionaire and living on Long Island, who really just wants to rip up government, just make the government as ineffective and as useless as possible. So everybody just hates government, and he wants to bring down the whole notion of government. So it's Robert Mercer financing people like the Brexit campaign, helping Nigel Farage, breaking the UK election laws by the amount of money they spend promoting their stuff. So Brexit is a sort of echo effect of Trumpism, and it's very, very sad what's happening to Great Britain now. I think the Brexit thing will probably be delayed to such an extent that maybe it won't happen. Who knows? But, you know, obviously, one does not want Brexit from an economic point of view. Europe doesn't want it. England shouldn't want it, but there's now this massive confusion. But the linchpin behind all of that was Nigel Farage, who's unleashed through, like I call it, a parallel universe portal. He's unleashed this right-wing, American right-wing nonsense into English culture. And it's very sad, because there's so many things English people don't have to worry about. We don't really have to worry about rigged elections. We don't have to worry about pro-life polarization. We don't have to worry about voter suppression, and stuff like that, and gerrymandering. We don't have these issues, and a British MP is answerable to his constituents. He'll list his constituents. A US congressperson is not remotely interested in the opinions of their constituents. They're only interested in meeting the agenda of the people who finance their campaigns. American congressmen have to spend 5.5 hours every day raising money, so of course they don't give a damn about what their constituents actually want. They don't listen to them, but they tell them what to think. And that's why you have so much irrational stupidity in American politics.
Yeah, I just don't know where it's going. And you don't know politically.
Well, so where it's going is not good. And that's why I wrote this book, because I have found maybe an escape hatch. And the way you know it's not going good, you just look at one graph. You just look at something called income discrepancy trends. I'm not complaining about income discrepancy. I'm a capitalist. But you look at income discrepancy trends and how they've been going for the last 30 or 40 years, and then translate that, project it forward to the next 30 or 40 years. What does that mean if that's allowed to continue? A lot of people already argue America is no longer a democracy but an oligarchy. And they're probably correct. Now, as you get more and more money, more and more political power, and fewer hands, you will get an oligarchy turning into a fascist state. That's the trend. Now, is there an opposing trend? There's some good stuff happening as well, which I discuss in my book. And without giving the game away, a lot of it is by looking at the wealthiest Americans in 1985, and how they got their money, compare that with the wealthiest Americans today, and see what the trends will be over the next through year 2025. And you'll find some stunning numbers, but you'll find the really bad old fossil guys, the Koch brothers and Eagles of this world, people who made their money out of polluting the planet or gaming or real estate or whatever it is, that's changing massively. So they, instead of having 85% of the power, they're going to have, and the money, they're going to have 15% of the money. And money in American politics ultimately always wins. So you're going to have to use money to save American democracy. I don't see the American voter, who's now beaten into like into sort of state of semi-unconsciousness, I just don't see them having the willpower to do what's absolutely necessary. And that one of the most fundamental things they have to do is start removing money from politics. And I, and by the way, my book does mention, and it's not the solution, but it, it's not how we're going to get out of this, but it does have something called the Smart Party Agenda. And what, and even though there might be people listening to you who are furious at what I'm saying, my Smart Party Agenda would attract the support of 80% of the American people. It's not a polarizing agenda. We all know this. We all sort of know what we want. We have to ask why we're not getting it. Why is Congress not responding to the fact that 80% of the people want this, this, and this? Because it's not a democracy. They're not interested in the views of the population.
Yeah. And you, now, you describe a lot of times Americans as onions.
I don't like, maybe I did by accident. What I meant to say, and I, if I've said just Americans are onions, that's not what I'm, I don't think I did say that. What I'm saying is that Homo sapiens are like onions. And I had to wonder how come, and how clearly we're not wise. We're running to our own doom. You know, we, mankind, most scientists would probably believe Stephen Hawking in believing that we have a 50-50 chance of surviving the next 100 years through our own self-made destruction. So how come the human race can be so unwise? You know, some things are really simple, like overfishing fish. I mean, why would you do that?
Yeah,
it's so counterproductive. So I've studied why Homo sapiens have become the way they've become, and that goes back. You have to go back to the history of mankind. You have to go back hundreds of thousands of years to begin to understand. But it's obviously the belief, and a lot of it's to do with the belief in myth. And it was myth that allowed us to act in units that are greater than 150. And that's how we overcame the Neanderthals, and who were actually just as smart, better adapted to the climate. They were stronger physically and all the rest, but because of our belief in Homo sapiens' belief in myth, we were able to become the dominant species. So, and then Americans, I think, has gotten particularly bad because, you know, you've got this bastardization of religion to an absurd amount, and you've now got just far probably more fake news in America than any other country. We don't, I mean, if you watch Fox News in America, in England, it wouldn't be bad. Rupert Murdoch made his money in England by showing tits on newspapers. He made his money in America by coming up with fake news.
But people like in politics and you know, like people like Kellyanne Conway and that
it's inexcusable. She's inexcusable. I mean, this is inexcusable for a woman at that position to be so supportive of what is now a highly misogynistic administration and Supreme Court.
So the Supreme Court, Donald Trump making fun of the accuser of Kavanaugh. How does that influence his party? That's what's confusing to me.
I did not project that Donald Trump would win the election to become president, but I thought he'd become the nominee for the Republican Party, and I said that like when he began his campaign, 18 months before the election. And the reason why I was fairly comfortable he would win was, again, you go back to the math. If you look at the Republican voters, you know, 67% of them are really uninformed and got various forms of bigotry inherent in their beliefs. And so really those people are going to want to vote for the worst possible candidate you can imagine. Now, at one point, the rest would want to vote for a more traditional candidate, like a Kasich, or what people think was a traditional candidate in Jeb Bush. So you would think it would be a Kasich against Trump or against Ted Cruz or whatever. But what happened was that Trump proved himself to be more despicable than Ted Cruz. And he won because, you know, that's where he solidified that vote, because, you know, more than half the Republican Party want the worst possible candidate to stick it to libtards.
And that's a name. How did libtards and liberals become so?
It's just an infantile, play with words. That's all. That's all they've got. I mean, it's okay to have an infantile play with words if you can actually back it up with facts. But that's all they have: is infantile plays with words with no facts. I have a challenge on my website, on my Facebook page, where I offer. I'm so fed up waiting for an intelligent response to content I post. I now have a $5 gift certificate to anybody who will post something intelligent to content that I write, not my memes, which can be tongue-in-cheek, but I'll have a meme and then I'll attach my own personal content. So find something wrong with my own content and argue, debate with me intelligently and politely, and I will happily give that person a $5 gift card via PayPal. I'm waiting for an intelligent Trump enabler to debate with. I found it impossible over the last 2 years, so I have to create my own invented people to debate with. Because you can't find anybody who support Trump who enabled to put string two facts together into a coherent form that are related to my content. They'll always go off, they get beaten on the content, and they'll just go off subject by talking about, because then they'll suddenly say, well, Hillary killed, you know, some sort of stupid conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. You can't follow them down all the rabbit holes they lead you to.
So what does this say for what's going to come next? Because when you look at Trump, after Trump, what if there is an...
Well, presumably, the Democrats will win the Congress back and there'll be some proper investigations. There's no doubt in my mind that the Trump Organization is a criminal organization. The New York Times just the other day revealed, properly sourced, that they basically stole $400 million of taxpayer money. And Trump was always, he's a lousy businessman, by the way, but it's a criminal business activity, which will be fairly easy to prove once you start investigating it. And once you start actually following through on, say, the New York Times piece that came out 2 weeks ago. And then of course the whole Russian collusion thing, there's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that Putin and his people, I forgot Russian intelligence, GRU, and I forgot what they were called beforehand, KGB, they've had a file on Donald Trump since 1978. And of course the guy's going to be the easiest person on the planet to build a file on to keep under Putin's thumb. Putin has one interest. His major foreign policy goal is to remove the Magnitsky Act, which is about 10 years ago, I've forgotten when, Putin was able to stimulate his own oligarchs, billionaires, by putting one of those under a show trial and threatening everybody else. In return for their compliance, Putin gets to keep 50% of their profits. So he's now got compliant oligarchs, but the Magnitsky Act is designed to undermine that power. And that's what's driving Putin mad. So whenever you hear these euphemisms for childcare, whatever, adoptions and all the rest, it's actually Putin's people trying to get rid of the Magnitsky Act. To show you how important that act is, in a stunning vote, like 98 senators out of 100 voted to strengthen the Magnitsky Act. The only people who didn't do it would have been Bernie Sanders, but evident, and for some obscure reason about protecting the Iran deal, so it was a legitimate reason in his mind, and Rand Paul, who doesn't believe, he's a libertarian, sort of a rather juvenile Ayn Randist. But you basically had unanimity in the Senate. During Obama's time, this is, I think, during when Obama was president, he had unanimity on the Magnitsky Act, and that has not softened, and Trump has not been able to undermine that yet. Because everybody reads what really happened to Magnitsky, and the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee have got the scoop, know that this is deadly serious. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's all laid out, and you can go and check what's going on. But that's what Putin is out to get, to remove the Magnitsky Act and stop other countries from adopting it.
So where's it going to go after Trump? Do you think Trump will get in 2020?
Well, that's one reason why we're not that excited about, impeachment. Yeah. Because, you just get Pence, who's as dumb as a doorpost and a religious fanatic, but a fake Christian. So I don't think that's good because he has the looks, you know. He has a certain, he has the camera, he has the looks, he can be quiet and appear to be a reasonable guy. He's a professional talk radio host, so he knows how to spin a yarn. So he would have been far more convincing in unfolding Trump's agenda than Trump himself. So the thought of him being in charge is just as scary. But, you know, if Trump goes down with collusion and whatever, which I think is likely in some shape or form, you know, Pence is definitely implicated too. Pence has been lying about some of these things as well. He was more familiar about this stuff than he's letting on to. So what happens after that, I don't know. But do I think he's going to win the 2020 election? Yeah, people are talking about that. That's just like a true nightmare unfolding. And I keep asking Americans as well, like, you know, you look, it's not like we're not warned in every single dystopian movie you ever get to see, every single book written about the future societies, whether it's science fiction, Star Trek, or whatever it is. The hero, the good guy, is never a nascent Nazi trying to eradicate minorities and women or whatever. There's not a single story of a good of the hero of the piece in a dystopian novel saving mankind being a Trump type person. It just doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. It can't happen because they are the problem.
Yeah, it's hard to get his followers to realize what they're buying into.
Well, they're being forced to look at themselves in the mirror right now, today, as you got a massacre in I think it's Illinois with the synagogue, which is a pattern. And you know, you have to ask. And I blog today. Ask a Trump supporter, show them a pattern. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What is the next number? One bombing from their people. People. What's the pattern? Can you see what happens next? Can you see the pattern? And then start asking yourself, why do you believe all this nonsense that I can spell out in my book, Deliverance? If you go to the first index where I have 80 statistics showing just how massively uninformed Trump voters are. They have nothing.
Wow. I'd like to see an alternative come up and.
Well, I do have an alternative, which I'm not going to give in a soundbite because it's taken a lot of research, right, and a lot of argument to explain why I think that there is some hope down the road and how it could be achieved. And that's what the final two chapters of Deliverance is about. You know, I've had to write chapters leading to that conclusion in order to set up the theory. I had to write chapters about religion for a start. I had to write chapters about Christianity, and I had to write about the Pope so people understood Christianity before I explained what a Christian needs to be. So everything's done for a purpose, and I had to look at philanthropy, and I had to look at, like, what do horrible people give to in order to be called a philanthropist? So I study the numbers regarding philanthropy, and you'll see some interesting patterns there. And then I get to the real solution, which is called deliverance, in the penultimate chapter of the book, which explains how I think by the year 2025, the pieces might be in place to allow the recovery of our democracy.
What kind of feedback do you get from your books and from your website? Like, how are people reacting?
Well, I look at the reactions, and I will tell you one thing. Nobody has ever found a fact to be incorrect, number one. I think the feedback is generally very positive. The one criticism that I did get, which I took to heart, was in my first book. I met with a progressive author called Russ Baker, who had written this great book about family secrets, and I was looking for him to sort of endorse me and support me, and he didn't, because he was upset by one sentence I'd written in my introduction in my first book, where I'd been relatively polite about George Bush Sr., because I couldn't be bothered to investigate. I can't do everything. But then I read his book, and I listened to his criticism of that one sentence, and I realized he is right, that George Bush Sr. is the most Machiavellian president this country's ever had. I mean, it's true. I mean, and I wrote a book later to undo that sin. It was called Jeb Bush, Who is Jeb? And is her, and I used Jeb as a proxy to undo my error and to look into the Bush family. And what I found by both reading Russ Baker's book and also doing my own research was you had to be really careful not to go down thousands of conspiracy theory holes without and remain sane. So I had to write a book about Jeb Bush and his Bush family without ever resorting to conspiracy theories. I infer that they may exist. I mean, we talk about the Kennedy assassination. I will let the readers figure that out, but I can tell you one thing. There's only one conspiracy theory about Kennedy's assassination, and that would be the absurd notion that Oswald acted alone. He did not act alone. And once you figure that out, you can start seeing some patterns, and you can start getting a fairly good idea of what happened. I don't know precisely what happened. I could name 8 people. I could name 10 people who would be involved, and I'd probably be wrong about 2 or 3 of them, and which 2 or 3 I would have no idea.
Hmm. Well, you know, I heard Ted Cruz's dad did it.
It's actually, I don't think he did. I mean, sorry, I haven't looked at him, but it's actually not the most stupid thing that Trump has ever said, but it's not, but yet you should never say something like that unless you can really back it up.
Yeah, it's just, that just is typical.
But there is some notion of the CIA cooperating with people from Cuba at that time.
Yeah. Well, you're a very interesting guest. It's been a great discovery to find you. now, let's talk about how people can get, like, we're going to have your books and website linked to the ours as well, so people can just that follow us on the website or listen to the show that way. Just click on and you'll see all the books and you can just one-click shop. But what is your website and name your books for listeners so they understand what you have?
Okay, so the website is stupidpartyland.com. And the books are Stupid Party Math of the Myth, Investigating the Forces Destroying American Democracy. And then that was meant to be it. And then by accident, I found myself forced to write the Jeb Bush book. And then I thought, not long ago, 2 years ago, I'd written so much material in my blogs, and I was worried about the first book becoming like a bit long in the tooth or less relevant. So to make those other two books relevant, I wanted to create this trilogy, which really explains the path America's been on from 1948, maybe even before, through to 2025, so that the books remain sort of fresh and poignant with a story arc that covers probably everything you need to know about the Republican Party. And that final book is called Deliverance from Stupid Party Land, How to Eradicate the Destructive Forces Destroying American Democracy.
Wow. Amazing. Again, this has been great. I really enjoyed having you. And our guest has been Patrick Adendel. And stupidpartyland.com is his website. Like I said, everything will be up on our website. Thanks for talking to me.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to voice some of my thoughts today of all days, which is sort of a combination of a lot of things that I've been talking about.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.